Are you sing it unto him now,
Lord? Prepare thee to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with giving, I'll be a living, will you? Sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. We'll begin reading about verse 18. Brother Richard Wilson is talking with him this morning. There's a brother Calhoun that goes to his church that's real sick. So y'all remember him and just keep him in your prayers. The Lord would be with him. He was in the hospital quite a while and they let him out. But then now he's back in the hospital. So just, just pray that the Lord would be with him and touch him. Brother Richard and them is going to try to come down and be with us pretty quick, so remember that. We had a good time in a fellowship meeting yesterday. We kind of, all of us had fellowship, and Brother Carroll done a wonderful job preaching, and all. It was a good time. So we had a good time in him. Amen. Hebrews 12. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being out today. Thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for you, Father. Most of all, we ask that you would just touch us and open our understanding, because that's what we need more than anything in the world, is for you to open our understanding, Lord, that we may see you through the word that we hear. We truly believe then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So we pray that you would just guide each and every one now and just keep us. And Lord, just be with the brother there, Brother Richards, Brother Calhoun, Lord, that you'd touch him and deliver him from that condition. And let all things be well. And we believe you and we thank you. And just have your way now and guide each one as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts. And keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 12. We'll begin reading in verse 18. For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire. Now that was Mount Sinai back there, was coming. When they came down and the children of Israel came, Moses brought them out, For we are not coming to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of a trumpet and to the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should be not spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now that really got to him. Back there, such a holy, holy place. But now the point of what I'm wanting you to get at is what he's talking about. The voice of words. Not a mountain. Not a holy mountain, not that away now. Voice of words. All right? See, because that was what they heard. They heard the voice of God. Right? But we're not come to those type of things now. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Amen. Now watch. See, now you're coming to something else. This is not just going to a mountain and hearing a voice, because they rebelled at that. You know, they rebelled and said, we don't want to hear that. Don't let God speak no more to us like that. See, so he had to speak through the prophets. But now you and I come to the position to where the prophet is supposed to brought the word. So now we're not just having to say, well, we've got to listen to the prophet. Now, get what I'm saying now? We got to say what the prophet said. But it's not now to just say, well, we got to play the tapes. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know, you got to get to something else. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Amen. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen. Now watch. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom. Now, the prophet said the kingdom of heaven is the word.
Amen.
That's the word now. All right. Right. Wherefore, we receiving, because our kingdom is, our heaven is made of even the word. Right. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I've been trying to bring a point, you know, and speaking of a positive attitude, and because I believe that's what we need, see, because as the prophet said, all Christianity is based on a positive attitude.
Amen, right.
There's no such thing as a negative attitude in Christ. It's all based on positive. Nothing. It's not yea and nay in God. It's yea and amen. All right. And see, in doing that, then, we've got to come to a place to be able to know who we are, because that's the only way that you'll be able to have a positive attitude.
Right.
It's to know who you are and what you're doing, or the hour you're here, the message of the hour, the time that we're upon the earth, see.
Right.
To know that, see, then that will bring us to perfect faith.
Right.
All right. And see, we won't be like back there. As I say in there, see, they went to the mountain. That was fine. But when they got to the mountain, see, the very thing that God had told Moses, talking to him from the burning bush on the mountain, you bring them back here and worship. Well, when he got them back there, the whole mountain was on fire. And like I've always said, they had a burning bush for each one of them to stand before if they wanted to hear right from God. God was going to speak straight to the children of Israel. But they said, don't let God speak.
Right.
Moses, you go up and find out what he wants us to do, and we'll do it. But we don't want him to speak. Because, see, they had done sinned about 10 times before they got to that position. So they didn't want to hear the word of God. They wanted somebody to tell them what God said. Right. But now, watch what I'm saying. See, Brother Brown said, man chose for man to bring him the word. God was going to speak to him himself. All right? Now, but today, he said it's hard to get one man to believe another one. Yet we say, and you say, or at least you're here this morning, you say, well, we're going to church today, and Brother Dale's going to speak to us. You know. Well, when are you going to start counting that as being the word of God? All right, you chose it. You know, you chose it. But Brother Dale, we didn't choose. I want to play the tapes. Amen, playing the tapes, that's fine. But when that's all you can do, what have you done? You've gone backwards to where that you're walking around Mount Sinai. You're just back right where the children of Israel were. See, you're not going on with the Lord. And see, we're supposed to believe. Now, if I say something, and Brother Branham said things that were humanly you know, incorrect as far as words or thoughts or something, is speech. And we know that that's not, you know, thus saith the Lord. We need to make a human error. That was a human being speaking. But yet we still believe that he brought us the word. But do we really believe it? Well, everybody claims to, but now do we believe it? I ain't talking about anybody else. I'm talking about you and I. Do we actually believe what he said? Well, he said in the end time that the bride would be the final voice to the final age. Now, there's not another voice to be recorded anywhere to come to the Gentiles outside of the last voice was the voice of the prophet. And I'm talking about, you know, bring it like that. The voice of the prophet bringing the message of the hour to you and I, that was the final human voice of a man being spoken as one person, or God sending us a prophet. There's not another prophet promised for the Gentile dispensation. Now, we agree with that. All right? But see, the bride is to be the final voice. All right? So now that we've not come to a mountain to just go around and around a mountain and listen to tapes and you know, wait on Moses to come back off the mountain. You remember that's what they done back there? Amen. And you remember what happened during the time that Moses was up on the mountain getting the word of God that they asked him to go get. Now listen, you understand what I'm saying? They wanted it. They asked it. They desired him to do it. And he's up there doing it. And what are they doing? Well, we don't know where Moses is. We don't understand what's going on. He's been up there. So let's make us a golden calf and go back down to Egypt. They weren't going down to Egypt to be slaves. They were going to go back to Egypt to take over. They had done got freedom enough. They weren't going back to become slaves. They were going to go back and tell them, say, this is the God that brought us out, you know, this golden calf. But see, that wasn't what brought them out. What brought them out was God and a man. You and I have been called out by the end time message. Now, why would we want to go backward? See, why not come to the, as it said, we've come to the New Jerusalem. We've come to the Word. We've come to an innumerable company of angels. But see, everybody just, oh, we just want one angel, Brother Branham. No, the Bible said we've come to an innumerable company of angels. The General Assembly. We've come to the Church of the Firstborn. Why would we want to go backward now to something that would, you know, that would be like that? Because like we were talking yesterday about it, and this brother told me one day, you know, he said, I was told to go north. I was told to go north and go north. And said, I wound up in Lula. Said, I was in north. And one day he told me, he said, Lord told me to go south. I said, well, brother, there ain't no such thing in the Bible. Of course, now he went south. But I told him. I didn't pull no punches. I didn't argue with him. I just said, there ain't no such thing in the Bible to go south. You get in the land, you can go east and west and north. But there's no south because you go back out of the land. Amen. And that's what I told him. Well, he went right on back out of the land, went right on. You know, but that's his choice. Right. See? That was his choice to do what he wanted to do. And it's your choice to do what you want to do. Right. Yeah. But it's my choice to do what I want to. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to keep marching forward in the Word. See? Because that's the only thing that I know of. It's like I told them yesterday, you know, there are always people talking about, well, Brother Dale's intellectual, and then they say this brother's a Pentecostal. I told them in the fellowship meeting. I said, I come out and say I believe in the gifts and the signs and wonders. You say, oh, he's a Pentecostal. I said, then I come out and say, well, I believe in the Word, and it's the Word of God, and we need the Word. I said, then you call me an intellectual. Why not get it together in the middle of the road? That we can have all of the things that God has given us, the shouts and the things and glory hallelujahs, you know, but yet settle down in the Word. Amen. The prophet said, don't jump too high that you can't walk straight when you come back down. Amen. Now, that was his word. See, that doesn't make nobody dry nor what. It makes the Word of God, because there's no way that you can get the Word of God revealed to you and you be a dead dry hide. Right. Amen. Yeah. Right. You just can't do it. Because there, everywhere the word is revealed, there's life.
Amen.
All right. Now, see, that's going to take us through. But now, what have we been talking about? We've been using Abraham, talking about that Abraham believed God, and by believing God, he had to wait for a long time for the answer to come. And I gave you quotes where the prophet of God said, no matter how long it lingers, we must still wait upon God. To have patience with one another and to have patience with God. See, to wait even though he's told us, give us a promise or something. But see, the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth and all. But see, you can only be tried because of going through trials. You know, if everything's on the mountaintop, man, ain't no trials. You know, the trials is in the valley. But see, God is wanting us to come out to the place until we can believe him and take his word no matter what goes. That's what they should have done. And instead of getting Moses to speak to him, they should have walked right up to the mountain, got a bush and stood in front of it because the whole mountain was on fire. Everybody had a burning bush. You see, they rejected that way. And by rejecting that way, it produced that a man had to speak to him. But as I said, when the man went up to get the word, they start making a golden calf. Get in there and read Moses sometime when he's telling the children of Israel what's going to happen. He said, and you will go after other gods. Right there at the end of his life in Deuteronomy, he said, you will go after other gods. You will do these things. Because he knew the people. Because see, that's the way you and I are. We've got problems enough just being human. I like what Brother Carroll said yesterday. He said, oh, you know, old Jacob was a shyster. See, you say, well, I ain't a shyster no more. You know, I'm an Israel. Well, I've always told you I'm a shyster to a lot of things. But I never thought about what he said about it. He said, just think how we con God out of what we've done. He said, con God? Yeah. Because I traded him all of my sins. And the only thing he got out of it was death. I conned him into taking my sins and going to hell for me. But you know, that wasn't a con artist job, was it? That's what he wanted us to do. We've got to give him. But see, he's the one that's got the bad end of the deal. You understand what I'm saying? He got the bad end because he's the one that paid the price. You and I got eternal life. But think on these things. See, God is testing you and I to see if we'll stay with his word. He's testing us. The prophet said that this bride would prove to Satan that she wouldn't fall like Eve did in the garden. Well, how can that happen if we don't have tests and trials? If things don't come our way that are, you know, to test us, how are we going to claim to go through a test? I read you there last week where the prophet said if God answered every time we asked him, said we'd become spoiled brats. And he said then we'd be even discontent with life if he answered us every time we prayed. Oh, I'd love that, wouldn't you? But I know it won't happen because he's a good daddy. It's just like your kids, they come and ask you for something. You got to say no. Then they say, why? You say, because I'm daddy. If nothing else, you just say, I'm the boss. You know. See, it's got to be done that way because you're wanting to train them into a nature. You're not wanting them to be just shiftless, characterless people. But to train into a nature. See, you got to have a certain amount of discipline in anything you do. Whether it be sports, whether it be working, or whether it be the Word of God. You've got to have a discipline to the fact of just not characterless. Because that's what God is doing. He's trying you and I. Thank God for the test. Because only through the test can we come forth and do right.
Right.
We see, God does not want us now to have a negative attitude about anything. It's not good to have a negative attitude about the world. Have a positive attitude. Find something good about everything. Instead of, oh, well, everything's bad. Give you $1 million. Well, I got to go pay the taxes on it now. Now, come on. You know it's true. See, that's... See, a Christian has got to have a positive attitude. And never take anything negativism. Negativism will kill you. Well, I can't do it. Well, you know what? You can't do it. You just admitted it. You can't do it. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I'm laying my dependence upon what He says about me. All I'm doing is just walking in what He says. All right. Now, Satan will turn everything he's got against you, every gun that he's got, he'll turn it against when you say you're going to do something. The prophet said a lot of times, I just don't say what I'm going to do. Now, I've wound up having to do that myself a few times because the best way is just keep your mouth shut. Because when the devil finds it out, he's going to try his best to cut that off before you get there. He'll do everything he can to try to stop you. So the best thing to do is just keep it in your heart and move right on. But see, sometimes we have to stand up and say it, and then let the trials come. I remember years ago, it's been probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, I guess, right at it, somewhere 8 or 10 years ago. I stood right here and I said, all of my children are serving the Lord. Son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, they're serving the Lord. And I said, and all of my grandchildren are sitting here. Well, you see what the devil jumps on to make that to be proven. But I'm still on the side of God. I'm still on His side of saying, hey, that's the way it's going to be. I still got a positive attitude. It doesn't matter what takes place. It's going to be. Why? Because I believe God. And you take Abraham. Now, what about, just take Abraham as an example. I was thinking about this morning. That you just take Abraham, that after God gave him the promise, but really, it's if you take it correctly, now listen to what I'm saying. Brother Richard said this the other day, and it really helped me. You know that God never promised a covenant to Abraham? Now, I'm letting your natural mind run because, see, you're going to try to figure out what I'm talking about. God never gave a promise to him, or promised him. He never said, I'll make you a father of nations. He said, you are. He said, I have made you. Go read your Bible. I have made you a father of nations. Past tense. We deal with what he's going to do. No. God said it's already finished. If he gave you the new birth today, why would you worry? Our biggest worry should be whether or not we have the new birth. That should be the worry. Because if you have the new birth, we're the seed of Abraham by faith, and every promise that God ever made to Abraham is the same to me. But see, we got to believe it. But you take Abraham there. Now, all he does, he believes God. When nobody else would believe God the way he did, he believes God. What does it do? It put him into trouble. Everywhere he turned, it put him in trouble. Right? He was in trouble every way he turned around because he believed God. Winds up and gets a son, which was a promise. And before the son gets old enough to have any children, God says, take him and kill him. Take him and kill him. But what happens? Here goes Abraham going out to kill his own child. I wonder a lot of times what you and I would do if God told us to kill one of our kids. Oh, now, Lord, that ain't you. That ain't you, Lord, talking to me. That's somebody else. I wonder what had happened. I'm glad one thing Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said that when God does something in the Bible, one person does that. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, so I'll give you the quote. But he said something in the Bible. He said one person is called to do that. So there was one person called to go up, take his son, and fix it, offer him as a sacrifice. He doesn't demand that after all, you know, it was done by one man. So he doesn't deal with you and me that way. He deals with us on some other scale. But you know that Abraham and all of his offering his son is no different than the trials you go through every day in life? You know, sorry, kids, but it'd be easy to slit your throat. Come on. But sometimes when you got to live and don't even know what God wants you to do. You know, that really sometimes gets rough, don't it? But now listen, Abraham, it didn't make no difference. He believed God spoke to him. And it didn't matter what anybody said or anything that took place, he believed it. Now that brought him, as I've been trying to bring it, is to a positive attitude. This is message number 7 on it, but just put your title as it, Perfect Word. Because the only way that we can have a positive attitude is to have a perfect word. Now that's why down through time you had people that the Bible says that God winked at their ignorance. Why? Because it was not perfect word. Now, the word they had was perfect for the time. Don't misunderstand. But it was not the completed word of God. It was not finished. There were things that he had not made known. But see, to you and I, light has shined upon the entire Bible. We're not wandering like we used to. We're not even in the days like Brother Moulton would tell about. I remember Brother Moulton saying that he heard Brother Branham one time, and Brother Branham was preaching about there Adam and Eve went out of the garden. He said, I had turmoil thinking about Adam and Eve went out of the garden. He said, but one day I heard the same prophet again, and said that prophet said, but God made an atonement. Well, see, it took a while to be able to get the right answer. All right? But that's no excuse now, because all you got to do is go home, type in what you want to on the computer, and there will be the answer to the prophet, you know, from the prophet's message. You don't have to worry about whether or not babies is going to heaven, see. You may have had a doctrine about that before or whatever. But you don't have to have that now. See? Go type it into the message of the hour. And you see the prophet said, that doesn't apply. Illegitimate child doesn't apply in this generation. He said, all babies go to heaven. Well, see, under the age of accountability. But when are we going to believe it? But see, positive revelation is based upon a positive word. There was never a day that you could have a positive revelation until the end time. Because there was, it's hard words to say, but they wouldn't loopholes in the word that said Luther's message of the just shall live by faith was perfect. But it wasn't completed because it never finished. It'll finish in a rapture. But see, perfect word brings us to a positive attitude. That's why I can stand the way I do. You know, that's why what I've tried to do here, I've tried my best to get you based upon what the prophet said. Not my ideas about it, but what he said. What the Bible says. To get it to where that you can read it for yourself. All
All right? That's brought to me a positive attitude. Oh, yeah, it's caused me to be what people say, stubborn and all like that. Well, I'm fine. I don't argue with you about saying I'm stubborn. On the Word of God, I am. Got a pretty good amount of it in the natural. But on the Word of God, I am stubborn. Because I'm not gonna turn down what God has spoke to me. No, but Brother Dale, now God spoke to the prophet. See, you don't even know what I'm talking about. God spoke to Abraham, right? You agree? Well, why did he have to come tell Brother Branham what it was all about? Did you catch it? Why did he have to come tell Brother Branham what that whole story was about? Because we couldn't read what Abraham said. How many of us? Sure, we read the Bible before I heard of the prophet. I read it. I knew about Abraham. I knew about his journeys. I knew about his child and him offering him up. I knew all about that, didn't you? We read the pages, didn't we, Sister Gail? We know the stories, but it's like Brother Tom called them, war stories. That's about all we know to the Bible. But then one day the prophet came to bring us the revelation of what that was all about. All of those types and shadows and things. Well, see, then now it's up to you and I to walk into those things. To make alive what the prophet has brought unto us. Because as I said a while ago, the prophet's not the final voice to the final age. The bride of Jesus Christ by way of the prophet messenger and the message he has brought is the final voice to the final age. Because we're the last immorphic. Now, Brother Branham is part of this immorphic. Because he was a born-again believer in the body of Christ, so he's part of this immorphic. He's part of this form. And glad to be. But see, you and I, if we can't get down to see the pure, unadulterated Word, what are we going to do? The prophet said, we have the perfect interpretation with divine vindication. Questions and answers in 64. We have the perfect interpretation with divine vindication. Of course, people are like this. See, anytime you say anything, they can always argue back with you now. I remember years ago, we were having a minister's meeting, and this brother said, well, Brother Branham's not here to come straighten it out in case we get it messed up. I said, well, there's no need of getting it messed up because what he said is what he said. Yeah, but that's your interpretation. That's the way people are, see. But see, church, that's not me and you. What everybody else is none of my business. I'm not trying to tell you what somebody else is and how bad they are. I'm talking about how bad we are. Right. And what we need to believe. Right. So see, God has done His part. He has brought us the message. Right. It's up to you and I to walk in that message. It's up to you and I to study that message. To realize and find out. Like I've always told you, what if I'm an antichrist? How are you going to know? The only way you'll know is by the Holy Ghost in you telling you the understanding of the Word. So you're going to have to believe God speaks to you. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I was using with the children of Israel? They had a position to be at. They had a burning bush. They had an opportunity to be the same as Moses. They had an opportunity for God to speak straight to them. But they turned it down. You and I have come to the place now we've got the opportunity to stand before the burning bush. Moses is off the scene. It's not up to Moses anymore. It's up to the children of Israel. Amen. See? Spiritually speaking. Right. All right. See? You and I now have come back to that. See? We've come to the mount
of God. Where is the Mount of God? We're not going to Israel, walk up and find it, and you know, oh, here it is, we're there. That won't do any good. It's when you come back to the revealed Word. I thought we believed that this messenger of Malachi 4 was to do two things. I thought we believed it was to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. And then to reveal the thunders, which is revelation contained in the seals. But I thought it was to be done by the prophet's message. I thought you and I, are we looking for another prophet to come? That's where everybody goes. Oh, we've had Moses now. We got to have a Joshua. I remember that years ago. They was all saying, who's going to take over? Who's the Joshua? And Billy Paul got up and read it to at the Branham Tabernacle, what Brother Branham said. He said, the Joshua this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hollered, amen. Why? Because that's who I was following. Who are you following, Brother Dale? What group are you in? They can't put me in a group. They've tried to. They tried to put me in this one, tried to put me in that one. I just don't fit. I'm sorry. I'm stubborn. I just don't fit. But then we don't have no thing at Lula to call the Lulaites that we're the only ones. No. Just believe the message. See, because I believe God, by way of the prophet messenger, has spoken to you and I. So then we're standing back at the same place. If we're in the faith of the fathers, back to the Word of God, we're standing where the children of Israel turned down the Word. Come on. Standing before the burning bush, which is the revealed Word of God. God is speaking to you and I personally now. I can't give you a revelation. Brother Branham can't give you a revelation. And even Jesus couldn't give you a revelation. That's what he said. It's the Holy Ghost that reveals the Word to you. Well, why don't you believe that that Holy Ghost is the one that's speaking to you? Then God is speaking to you. See, we made the circle to where that it's come back. So now we're not standing before a mountain. Right. We're standing before the assembly of the living God. A numerable company of angels is here with us. Right. Right. See? Standing at the place to where the Word is revealed to you and me. That's God talking to me. God speaking to me when I read His Word. When He quickens that Word to you and I, see.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Why do we want to go back to some kind of a mountain to find a Moses? Look around the message and see how many leaders they've got. How many groups they've got. But see, there's no such thing as groups and leaders anymore. It's the children of Israel coming back to the very mountain of the living God, which is the revealed Word. Never before could it ever come. And don't worry about it. When God sends you the Word, He's going to try you. You get a revelation from God, you better be sure of one thing. The devil's coming right behind it. No, now, Brother Dale, when the Lord reveals to me, I'm going to just, boy, the devil. Oh, come on now. But listen, God won't back up. You remember me trying to emphasize this? God won't back up part Word. He winked at the ignorance of the people and backed up the things and done the things He's had to do down through time. He had to wink at partial revelation. He had to wink at the people, the Word that, you know, that they didn't understand all the Word. But now the Bible said He called all men to repent. Now we're standing before the living God. Not a human man.
but before the Word of Almighty God. I haven't tried to build you on a man. I've tried to build you on the Word. I haven't tried to make some kind of a kingdom out of it of my own. I've tried to make the Word that God could speak to you. That's why I know I'm stern, and I know I speak when I speak from the Word. I speak positive. What do you want me to have it? Well, we all got problems, Brother Dick. You got problems, I got problems. We all got problems. You know, the problems we got is between our ears. Right up here is where the problems are at. But God's Word says, well, I am what I am. I'm not looking at what I think I am. I know what I am, worth nothing. But I know what God said I am if I believe Him. But the basis was, Abraham, leave here. Go. Where am I going? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. Right? He didn't tell him to start with. Go. Why? Because he had to go through the test. See? The church, listen. You say, but Brother Dale, look at those people that don't preach like you do. And look at signs and wonders following that. I can't help that. But I do know one thing. That in the day you and I are living in, that we're living when anointed ones are to be here, and anointed ones are to be among us to try us. Well then, if anointed ones are among us to try us, then how could God make everything we ask work? No, His children, He's going to back away from His children a little to let things take place. But He seemingly, His presence is more with those who are not even in the message. Until great things are happening. But see, that's exactly scriptural, Joel 2. My great army that I sent among you. Now, God didn't send like make the devil come. He allowed him to come. My great army that I've allowed to come. I've permitted them to come and try you. Because I want you to grow up to be sons and daughters of a living God. Not babies tossed to and fro by every little wind of doctrine. But see, at least we could say, well, hey, listen, I don't know, but I'm just going to stay with what I believe. Anointed ones are sent or allowed of God to try me and you. Now listen, here's what I wrote down, so see if it's right. You say, but Brother Dale, do we need to know all the Word? You hammer Word, 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 Word all the time. Do we need to know all the Word? We need to know all the Word that is required for you and I. And if it is given unto you and I, it is our responsibility of whether or not we understand that. So it's left up to you and I. Now I wrote it like this. No, we don't have to worry about all the Word if you want to go by the grave. That's just honest. I just wrote down my thought. If you want, not if you want to be as most people and go by the grave or even miss it altogether. No, we don't need the Word. We just glory, hallelujah, and have a big time. But we're going by the grave. Because only those with a positive attitude and a positive word will make it make the change. You know, the moment, a twinkle of an eye. So then it's our choice. All right. But see, positive faith
It's positive revelation. Faith is a revelation to you. All right? Now, what about me and you now? What's now? The bride must have a positive attitude about what God says about her. Now, that's what we're going to get on this afternoon, you know, and some things, just bringing it out, seeing ourselves in the Word. But the bride must have a positive attitude about what the Word says about us. It's not enough today for us to say we're born again Christians. It's not enough today for us to say that we're justified. You know, like Luther. Or sanctified like the Methodists. Or by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth under the gifts of Pentecost. It's not enough for that. It's not enough for you and I to say we're going around the mountain with the prophet. You understand? It's not enough for us to just say we're going around the mountain with the prophet. It's not enough for us to say, Brother Branham, go in and find out what we need and bring it back to us. And we'll do it. Because that's exactly what the children of Israel said to Moses. And Brother Branham said that was the biggest mistake they ever made. Because that's where they chose law. Thinking it was grace. But as I said a while ago, the same people that said, Moses, go up and get it and bring it back as quick as he went off the scene, where were they at? Like I made a challenge years ago to a brother. I said, show me one church group that just plays Brother Branham's tapes that's not backslid. And I don't mean that they're out of the bases of Brother Branham saying, you know, in the Bible saying, forsake not the sin. I said, you name one. I said, we'll go there and see whether or not they backslid or not. He said, well, let's do it. I said, well, okay, now will you tell me that that church is greater without a messenger standing before them as a pastor? He said, well, no, I won't. So you knew what I was talking about. You and I, myself, I've done it, you've done it. You can backslide listening to Brother Randall's tapes. But when somebody's looking at you saying, hey, get it straight or you're going to miss it. It makes a ringing in the heart. Because, listen, you chose man to speak to you. And Brother Daniel, I wasn't back there. Don't play garbage cans with me. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday and forever, and you and I are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same way that back there is the same way we are today. You can backslide like everything sitting down just listening to Brother Branham on tape because you just turn your little brain off when you don't want to hear what he's saying. He speaks something you don't like, you just hit that little FF on there, you know, and it just fast forwards, you know. Or you get up and go get you something to drink. Well, that's being done. Then you come back and holler, amen, God's prophet, amen, God's prophet. But listen, church, we don't have a prophet to go to today. Now, this better be understood correctly now. We don't have a prophet to go to today that we can get a word of the Lord for us. Now, I didn't say what people accused me of saying there. I said, we don't have a man. We don't have Brother Branham standing here that we can say, Brother Branham, what is this? What is that? Because if he's standing here with that, he'd say, I done said it. Because that's what the Lord Jesus would say, I done said it. We don't have that. But we're standing before that mountain now, speaking to God ourselves. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Men, women, children, and all. Talk to God for yourself. Brother Branham said the problem down through the ages was
that they took the Spirit off of the people. This is in the church age book. They took the Spirit off of the people, put it on the preachers. And he said when they done that, they wound up with bishops. And said it wasn't long, they wound up with cardinals. From cardinals, they wound up with a pope. They took it off the people and put it back on a man. But now listen. Human beings are smart. We're dumb, but we're smart. You know, it's nice to have somebody to blame your problems on, isn't it? Right? Well, I wouldn't be in the shape I'm in today if Brother Dale wasn't like he is. That's real good, isn't it? We want to blame somebody else for our troubles all the time. Like I told you about that brother coming here that time, preached a sermon, feed my sheep. And I amen to message. It's a good message, man. I enjoyed it, feed my sheep. Well, it took him years before he ever got back around to it, but he got me at a place, you know, and he was trying to make light of it, and he said, that's why I kept trying to tell you to feed my sheep. I said, what are you talking about? I enjoyed that message. I thought it was a good one. He said, I was talking about feeding my kids, and you were trying to preach them deep things on the seals and things. But you see, we want to blame everybody else for all of our problems. You know? Instead of looking at it and saying, I'm my problem. Now, Lord, help me. See, God is trying His best, church, to speak to you and I. This is not a time of going to a mountain and even looking up and seeing it burning or any kind of a thing, or trying to find a prophet to speak to us. This is a time of being turned back to the Word. Amen. And when you turn back to the Word, then God is speaking again to you. Sure, they had prophets in the days of the time of the early church in the book of Acts. Sure, they had prophets, and sure, they had a Paul that had a greater understanding than any of them. Sure, but that didn't do away with the personal God for each and every individual. See, you're trying to take it out and put it on somebody else where you can blame them if something goes wrong. That's why I've always said, see, nobody wants to be president. They want to be vice president and run the company. Right? Because you know who they're going to fire when what goes wrong? Not the vice president. They're going to fire the president. Nobody wants to be pastor. They want to be assistant pastor. Where the pastor gets all the problems. Right? Come on. Everybody wants somebody to blame everything on. Instead of looking straight at ourselves and saying, it's me, Lord. But you see, we should open our eyes and say, it's me, Lord, standing by the burning bush. Speak to me, Lord. Don't worry about it, folks. Don't worry about something speaking to you that's contrary to the Word, if you know the Word.
That's right.
Now, if you don't know the Word, see, that's why I've tried my best to train you, pound you, hammer at you about the Word and what the prophet said these things mean. Then you don't come along and somebody say, well, in a way, I guess that's right. Or, down there at the River Jordan, he really become God because he wasn't God before then. And you don't get deceived with it.
Right.
Well, you got these two souls, and this one was come from the devil, and this one come from God. You don't get deceived with it.
Right. Amen.
Then you don't get deceived with all of these men coming around claiming to be the end time messenger. You know, the one you're supposed to follow. You don't get deceived with all of that if you know where you are in the Word.
Right.
Well, if nothing else, thank God. I know what I've done with most of you because I get it and I hear it. What you're doing a lot of times is you're just, instead of listening to somebody, you're waiting on them to shut up where you can tell them what the prophet said. Instead of standing there praying and seeking out the will of the Lord for it. You just become quoters. But when you got an experience in your heart, it does away with a quoter. You want to get to the quote being alive in your heart or the quoter living in you instead of you quoting what somebody else says. I haven't taught you to be this picky, picky, picky. I've taught you the Word. Sure, that made us that way, and we are that way. We have a name as being that way. But you can't go in there and just deceive them people. Well, thank God. I've done my job. But it still ain't going to put us in the rapture. It's when what we have within us is made alive. When it becomes a reality in our heart of the entire Word of God, now in the hands of the Bride of Jesus Christ. We're not back under where we had to start out. Some of us started out, just illustrating a while ago with Brother Moulton, and he didn't know the answer until Brother Branham, he got another tape. But you have no excuse. When I come in this message, I could only read a certain amount because it wasn't but a certain amount. Brother Tatum, I just so loved him for that. If I didn't love him for nothing else, I'd love him for one thing. Went to his house one day and he said, two books down there, you take one. I got 50-something the first time. Boy, you talking about a jubilee feast. I went back and got about 30 more. Got so embarrassed, I quit going. Wound up getting one of his one day, and I went and bought him another one because I didn't know. I thought I'd seen two of them. I just went and bought him another one. But listen, church, I valued that Word. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. I had no intentions of ever being a preacher. My intentions was to try to be a help in the gospel. But to do that, I wanted to know. And I knew the only way to not be deceived was me to know what the prophet said. See, that was placed within me to where that I could just keep hammering it down and hammering it down. Because, see, I believe what the Bible says. I and my Father are one. I've made a lot of human mistakes and lips and things and taught things maybe, but I come out here and correct it myself. When I find out I'm wrong about something, I come right back to you and tell you. That it's wrong there. Because I want it right. But see, my Father told me what to tell you. And I done that for years and years and pounded on it. I'm trying to tell you what my Father was talking about. Because I and my Father are one. The prophet said, when you say that, not when the preacher says it, not when Brother Branham says it, not when Jesus said it. That's on 99, see if not there with a shuck. When the bride begins to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, teaching the Word of God, right exactly the way the disciples taught it. Bringing one true and living God right down to the people so they can see what Paul and them was talking about. That's all the desire I have within my heart is to get you to see what my Father is telling me. Because he told me this is what it is. He said, if you'll preach the Word. How many of you have heard this statement? This is not a new one. He told me this many, 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 probably almost 30-something years ago. He said, if you'll preach the Word, I'll back it up.
Well, brother so-and-so preaches and God backs up. I don't care what they preach. I don't have anything to do with anybody else. I go around the country hunting. My wife says, what in the world are we doing here? I said, I'm hunting somebody that's preaching the word. Because I know if God revealed it to me, he'll reveal it to somebody else. I've always believed that and always taught you that. We're not the only pebbles on the beach in Lula, Georgia. God around the world is revealing his word to the bride of Jesus Christ. And there's ministers out there that are bringing their own thoughts to the people to try to get them to a position to see Christ like you and I see Christ. Because that's all I'm doing, see. Do you think, let me ask you this question. Do you think that you could in any way change Jesus' mind about what the Word said about him? I mean, consider that a minute. Do you think you could in any way say, get him to see any, take anything contrary to what God said about him? Well, no, brother. No, he wouldn't because he was God. Well, I thought by the new birth that we were the children of God, which would be God made manifest in another form called the bride. Well, see, the only way you know what error is to know what the truth is. But now, I'm going to say it this way now. You say, well, listening to error helps me to see the truth. Now listen. You got a point, but you got to remember one thing. Listening to error won't bring you truth if you don't know the truth before the error comes. Right? Because you're caught in their trap. But the perfect word brings perfect interpretation and perfect revelation. Then I don't have to worry about whether it's vindicated or not. God don't have to come down today and do something to show you what I'm telling you is the truth. Brother Don Ruddle had a good statement of saying, he said, anybody with one-eyed and high sense ought to know that's the truth. I don't care who it is around the world and what doctrine they got. Take the message I preached today, come off the internet with me and show me where it's wrong. You've got to admit it's right. God is trying his best to get the bride to see who she is. We're just not reading a book. We are the book. I'm not talking about a perfect word to be able to say, well, now we've got the perfect word because we took all these translations and we put them together and we come up with this. Now we got the perfect word. Now the perfect word is a living word. That's the only way it can be perfect or positive. I told you. I listened to somebody preach. I'm listening to it by my own experience. If it's contrary to my experience, sure, there could be something wrong with me. But I know for sure there's something wrong with one of us. Because what's in me is not agreeing with it. So then what I do? Go right back to the Word. I'd sat down there years ago when I'd come in from General Motors. When I first started reading this message, I'd sit down there with a Bible and a book. And I'd say, God, your Bible said there'll be false prophets. God, this man says there'll be false prophets. I'd read Brother Branham right to him and say, this man said there'd be false prophets that it was going to come and try us. Now, how do I know what is true?
That's right.
I only got one answer. Most of you know the answer, right? What was it? What does the Word say? It's the only answer he ever gave me, and that was before I was born again. I thought enough of the Word then to honor that much of it till he would say, what does the Word say? And at that position, I was not even a born-again Christian. Thought I was. Now, how much more do you think that if I would believe that God spoke to me and says, what does the Word say? How much more would it come when that new birth came that anchored that word into my heart by revelation? See, then I can stand here today and say, I and my Father are one. Why? Because there's only one God. There's only one Word. And if that Word's living in you by revelation, now if it's just head knowledge, that's not I and my Father's one. I'm holding up a Bible to you on tape or internet. When you say this book here, no, wait a minute, that book's got to be revealed. Because the prophet said, as long as it's laying on those pages, it can be questioned. But he said, when it comes into your heart, it can't be questioned. But church, this thing is not a plaything to me. I always turn my Bible. There's Acts 19. That's prayer clause. Laying in Acts 19. That's how much I believe the Word of God. They're not in the 18th, 15th, 14th. They're Acts 19. Years ago, this is 2 years old, I think, now, really. Or we got them last year. And they gave them out to us in Alabama. They take your name and they give you back a person to pray for that year. Brother John Paul LaFontaine. Every time I open my Bible, it automatically will open 90% of the time. Because there's more there than there is anywhere else. And I always say, bless my brother. And there's a sister over there, I don't even know what her name is, the school teacher, Peggy and all of them. Rita, she always said, Brother Dale, I'm praying. She got my name. I said, you praying for me? She said, I pray for you all the time. So I wrote her name down. So I say, Lord, bless Brother LaFontaine and the sister. Every time my Bible opens, that happens. This is not a plaything to me. This is not a good thing of just going to church and being good and us have a good time. I believe it's the perfect Word. I believe God has given us the perfect Word. I believe He's given us the perfect vindication to back up the interpretation. Yeah, but I haven't seen this. That's what you're not looking at the right thing. You're perfect set for a trap to fall into all these other things. But when the Bible tells me what I am, let me believe that. Because that's my daddy telling me what I am. This is my Father speaking to me. He uses other people to talk to me. He uses ministers. He uses kids. He uses women. He uses all kind of things to speak to me. And I believe it. But see, it can only be I and my Father's one. That's why I told the brothers in the ministers' meeting after the seals, I preached them there in 82 and 83, coming through there. We were having a meeting about 84, 85, and I told them, I said, there ain't none of you added one word to what God revealed to me. They got offended, I'm sure some of them did about it. They didn't understand what I was saying. I said, God revealed to me right out of that Word who He was. I saw God in His Word and come off the pages of the Word into my heart and also into everything that I see. Because I and my Father are one. Perfect Word brings a positive attitude. That's the reason I'm not a bit concerned about anybody calling me or anything or me preaching. Somebody say, well, I want to challenge you. Amen. Come on. Not that I'm that, oh, I want to fight. No. Because if I'm wrong and you show me, I've gained. I want to be right. That man called Brother Branham and told him, said, I want to talk to you. I want to straighten you out. He said, now's a good time. Come on, because it's always time to be straight, you know. But you see, church, perfect Word brings a positive attitude to you. I hate wishy-washies. I don't know. I can't stand that. At least be positive about it and say, this is it. Like Brother Brown said, if this ain't it, let me keep this till that comes. You know. Come on, Brother. But see, positive attitude, positive Word, positive revelation. The family of God realizing who they are. Seeing the Word is talking about them, as we'll get to this afternoon. The Bible does not reveal the Antichrist.
Right.
What everybody say, oh, look at that boy, that prophet spoke, he revealed. No, no. You reveal Jesus Christ.
Right.
You see the Antichrist riding away from that revelation. It's not a revelation of the devil. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ in you. Then you see the devil. And you know, a lot of times he ain't that far from me now. A lot of times where I see the devil at, I look at him in the mirror. And I realize who the devil is. That he's in my body and my spirit trying his best to keep me from doubting what the Word says. But Jesus in all, now we'll get to it this evening or something. Jesus in all of his temptations, all of his trials, he never used one gift. But see, when I talk like that, people think I'm against gifts. I believe in gifts more than anybody in this building believes in. Fought for them, stood for them, and everything else for the gifts. But see, Jesus knew who he was. But he never used one gift against the devil. He said it's written. Try that with the devil sometimes when he keeps coming at you and says it's written. The Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible says. He just finally gets tired of arguing with you. He's going to leave you. Why? Because he can't stand the Word. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Let's try 206 in the spiral book.
206 in the spiral book. Anybody has a need?
Be not a tempest, you hear my humble cry.
I have a praise. God has meant all this new house. I have to feel positive and all the negative behind. All kinds of things that I'm saying. Scared, fear. We're all in this room.
Anybody else should have a name? Anybody else should just have a name? See, we believe, don't we? We believe what the Word says about you. Believe it.
mine. Do you believe it? They just thank him for it. Say, thank you, Lord. While we sing the light, if anybody has a need. Do you believe it? Wouldn't it just say, thank you, Lord? As I told you, Brother Brown said we do most of our praying is to asking God for things. And that's fine. He's not against that. We just said we put the emphasis on asking God. Always, Lord this, Lord I need that, Lord I need it. Did you ever just say thank you? Billy Paul went to pick up Brother Branham, he said, at the motel one day, and he heard him in the room. Brother Branham was praying, and he was saying, Papa, Papa. He had become real to him. But at least we could call him Daddy, Father. But do you ever just say, thank you, Lord? We spend most of our time saying, I'm sorry. Or give me. But to say thank you. How much do we, as natural people, like to hear the word thank you? You know, somebody does something for us. Thank you. How much more does your Father want to hear you say thank you? I thank him every day for saving me. I thank him every day for fulfilling his promise. I do every day. I thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. I love you. I may not act like it, Lord. I may be a problem child. But I thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for keeping your word when I can't keep mine. You ever talk to him like that? You don't have to make great swelling speeches to God for him to hear you. Just pour out your heart to him. I always tell you, I tell my wife every day. I tell her that I love her. Because I do. And I don't want her to go to bed at night without me saying, I love you. She says, well, I love you. Because it's what we mean. I might not have been the kind of husband all day that she would have liked to have. But when I say I love you, like Brother Tom said at that time, and you know, I tell everybody just about it, I love you, because I do. But I'm not going to tell you I love you if I don't. I've had a lot of times I have to bite my tongue and say, I love you, so I didn't really mean it as much. I had to pray about getting the right attitude to even be able to say it. But I believe I could hug the Pope of Rome. And mean it in Christian love and say, I love you, sir. Well, how much more do I love my Heavenly Father? We haven't come to a mountain to argue over things and holler and scream. We've come to the mount of the living God. The Word. That we can say, thank you, Father. I told you, maybe my mother wasn't the type of person. She was a loving person, and I'm sure she did, but I never remember her saying, I love you. I never in my life remember my mother saying, I love you, but I know she did.
She did love me, I know that, but she just wasn't the type to go around and talking like that. So maybe I'll change that from that to try to let everybody know that I love you. Because I know it means something. Running around and said, I'd give everything in the world to have my father sitting on the front seat to just hear the gospel. But that can't be done. And I believe God is trying to show us how much He loves me. We could say, I love you, Lord. I look at it. Exactly. Right. The greatest thing to me that you could ever tell anybody is I believe you. That's not seen much to you, but it does to me. Just say, I believe you. No. Because that's what Abraham said. He said, God, I believe you're talking to me.
Right.
He didn't have great signs and wonders or anything. He just started walking.
Sure.
He got up and left and went to him, heading out. Where he didn't even know he was going.
Right.
But he said, I believe you. There's nothing could be greater than just say, I believe you.
Right.
I believe the word.
Amen.
Just keep saying that back to him. The time of all the troubles and heartache, just say it to him. Say, I love you, Lord.
Right.
And I believe you. Thank you. Anybody else anything before we go? Brother Tom. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yesterday, Brother Carol
got it all laid on this. I got everything I've got is laid on this. Can't be nothing else.
Exactly.